Holy God, our hope and strength by the power of your Spirit, prepare the way in our heart for the coming of your word, so that we may see the glorious signs of your promise fulfilled through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first reading is from Habakkuk, several different sections. The oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen? For cry to you violence, and you will not save. Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack, and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous, therefore judgment comes forth perverted. Look at the nations and see. Be astonished. Be astounded. For a work is being done in your days that you would not believe if you were told. For I am rousing the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. Dread and fearsome are they, their justice and dignity proceeded from themselves. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the parapet. I will keep watch to see that he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. The spirit is not right in them. By the righteous live by their faith. Though the fig tree does not blossom and no fruit is on the vines, though the produce of the olive fails and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the ford, and there is no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exalt in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of deer, and makes me tread on the heights.
Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the Gospel as Matthew recorded it. Chapter 26. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Habakkuk is not a prophet we often hear from this pulpit or any pulpit. Even when I preached a series 2 years ago called Minor League Prophets, I did not read from Habakkuk. Habakkuk has historically been seen as a dangerous book, dangerous to certain governments, and therefore they tend to make it dangerous for those who are governed. In 1940, a church newspaper in neutral Switzerland published an excerpt from Habakkuk without commentary. The military censors banned the newspaper because they perceived it as an attack on the Nazi regime next door. The Reichskirche, the Nazi state church, banned Habakkuk and printed Bibles without it. Others have commented on this book, and their commentary stands to this day. John Calvin, in his commentary on the Minor Prophets, used such strong words talking about this passage that I'm not going to quote them this morning. But you can see me or see the copy of this sermon on the website later if you're curious. In the Revised Common Lectionary, the most common arrangement of biblical texts for preaching, the congregation hears only 8 verses of Habakkuk once every 3 years, just enough to say that it was included. And each time it's paired with the popular gospel story of Zacchaeus, that wee little man. I remember only hearing one story in my life that focused on Habakkuk, and what I remember most is being astonished that this seminary student was preaching from Habakkuk. This book is from a traumatic time in the history of Judah. The prophet is writing not long after the Assyrian army invaded, killing many people and destroying most of the towns. This happened in the time of Isaiah and Micah and King Hezekiah. And not long after the prophet spoke, the Babylonians would come in and conquer Jerusalem, razing it to the ground and destroying the temple. When Habakkuk speaks about the Chaldeans, that's the Babylonians, same people. It's like saying the English and the British. Babylonians, Chaldeans. The first few verses describe how the prophet looks around and is overwhelmed by all the evil and the violence that he sees. He asks why God tolerates all this evil and why he himself has to see all the injustice, the oppression, the strife, and terror around him. The prophet laments that the wicked are overpowering the righteous and that justice is perverted. In the context of this violence, we hear Habakkuk's lament, "O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen?" In the middle of this nightmare, the prophet helps his people to voice their pain, to cry about the very real anguish that they are experiencing. This lament joins laments from all over the world in which people have found the words to name the situations of violence and injustice in their lives. As I mentioned, this book was banned in Nazi Germany, but it was read in the antebellum South and in apartheid-era South Africa and in Soviet-occupied Eastern Europe. We need to be aware that the violence and terror didn't go away as soon as Habakkuk spoke up. This isn't a magic spell. Violence continues through most of the rest of the book. The people of Judah do end up going into exile in Babylon for a generation. These things are real. And anyone who tells you that being a Christian or having faith is some kind of an easy button either does not understand how the world works or believes you don't. Sin and pain and violence and death are real. They're all around us, and pretending that they're not real or that they do not affect us does nobody any good. You can live for a while in the pretty little town of Denial, Ohio, but sooner or later the rug's going to get yanked out from under you. We don't get to say, "I'm a Christian, so I'm not tempted to sin." We don't get to say, "I'm a Christian, so of course I'm physically and mentally healthy." We don't get to say, "I'm a Christian, so all my relationships are always what they ought to be." I wish, but no. That's not how the world works. We like quick fixes, don't we? And easy answers where we don't have to work too hard. I know I do. But that's not how the world works. I'll say it again. Sin and pain and violence and death are real. They are all around us and they can be overwhelming. However, one of the key messages of the whole Bible, from the beginning to the end, is that they do not get the last word. God created the universe, and God sets the rules. God tells Habakkuk to write this vision down in letters so big that somebody running by can read it. The days of tyrants are numbered. The days of sin and pain and violence and death are numbered. The day is surely coming, says the Lord, when the nations will come to Jerusalem to be judged. The day is coming when all the nations shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. The day is coming when justice will roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. The day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. That day is not here yet, you may have noticed. We have been waiting for that day all our lives. Our parents waited for that day, and their parents, all the way back to the people of Judah in the 6th century BC. No one knows when that day will happen. It will come like a thief in the night. It will most likely not happen in the lifetime of anybody in this room. But there is good news. The good news is that God has started working in the world toward that wonderful day. Advent is all about preparing our hearts and preparing our lives to celebrate the arrival in the world, not of a mighty army, but of a baby. So, what do we do in the meantime? Jesus told us. He told us to stay awake. Pay attention to what's happening in the world, even when it will be more pleasant to wear blinders. Habakkuk tells us. He tells us to keep believing in the God who will bring deliverance. This unflinching belief in God's ability to make an end to violence and injustice is why the book Habakkuk was banned in Nazi Germany. The idea that God will end unjust power was a threat to the Nazi regime. So yes, don't stop believing. But the notion of believing something and not doing anything about it is very modern. The concept of belief as something separate from action did not exist until the Age of Enlightenment of the 17th and 18th centuries. That means anytime anybody in the Bible talks about believing something, that belief is supposed to go along with action. If we say we believe something, but we don't really do anything about it, Jesus and anybody else in the Bible would ask the question, so what do you really believe? So, in the meantime, between the prophecy of God's justice and its coming, we lament. We point out where the world is not what it should be. And we keep the truth of God and of good and of love from being lost amidst all the mess that surrounds us. We pray. We pray the words we sang at the beginning of this service. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set your people free. And we mean it. And we do what God has told us is good. We do justice, we love mercy, and we walk humbly with our God. We never stop being the God-loving, neighbor-loving people whom God has called us to be. We feed the hungry. We find coats for cold kids. We make up blessing bags and we give them to people who need them. We seek out new ways to love and serve the people around us. Even in the midst of violence and depravity. Even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We do these things knowing that Jesus walks with us. We do these things knowing that God's love is real. We do these things knowing that God's justice is real. We do these things knowing that God's justice is coming. Knowing that gives us the strength not only to go on, but to rejoice in the Lord, to exalt in the God of our salvation. For God the Lord is our strength. He makes our feet like the feet of a deer and makes us tread upon the heights. Thanks be to God.